It's The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, and Richard Roper is here with us this Friday. Another entry into the naming contest for Lauren's list of weekend events. Live in La Vida Lapka.
Wow.
I like that one.
Yeah, that one's a contender, don't you think?
That might be another segment she'll do another time.
Yeah, it could be a different segment. There's something there. Let's keep that one on
That's
hold.
That's a good one, though.
But the What's on Tapka from Lapka, Kim Gordon's suggestion, still leading the pack.
That's the winner.
In our power rankings, that's number one currently.
totally up there.
Okay.
Also, just pointing out, a couple hours ago, a male with no clothes jumped off the bridge into the Chicago River.
It's hot out there. What do you
expect? Ed Dearborn. Mm-hmm. He's okay.
Can't blame him, you know?
But that's what he did, and that's not the way to stay cool, people.
Unrelated news, Ben Bradley has not been seen for 90 minutes. So.
I can actually see
crazy things.
People looking into that.
Crazy things to stay cool, so don't resort to that. But let's talk to Richard Roper, because you're here, and I know you already reviewed The Lion King for us. That's in theaters.
Yeah, and you know, I know it's getting mixed reviews, and people keep asking me, like, well, is it better than the animated version? I'm like, is the book better than the movie? It's like, you know, it's a different thing. It's a different animal, so to speak. And it's not going to do anything to your memories if you saw it when the 1994 version, when it first came out, or if you've, you know, fallen in love with it since then. It's different. Some people are kind of turned off by the live action CGI photoreal technique. I think it looks amazing, and it's basically the same story. They were smart enough to say, they didn't change The Lion King drastically. I think it looks beautiful on the big screen. You're looking to get out of the hot weather and see a great movie, a great story, beautiful visuals, amazing voice cast, including James Earl Jones, the only returning cast member from the original.
Oh,
as Mufasa.
Go to. I love her. James Earl Jones.
And Donald Glover and somebody named Beyonce Knowles Carter, who hasn't done a lot of acting, but has done some roles here and there. So she's getting a break here, too.
She was in Austin Powers, one of her first roles.
Yes, she was. Trying to get her a little exposure.
So, oh, you know, good.
Get that career. You know, kind of jumpstart that career for her.
See if things go well for her. So what did you give that one in terms of?
3.5 stars for The Lion King. Yeah,
take the whole family. It's one of those everybody can go kind
little
of things.
Simba. Oh, my gosh. Too cute.
Really? Gee. But the three new ones that you want to review. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with This Changes Everything, which is a documentary out in theaters now. You'll be able to get it on demand, fairly soon as well. And, you know, when people hear that, This Changes Everything, and they hear all these actresses and producers talking about Hollywood, they might think this is another look at Me Too. And while it touches on that, it's actually about something that also deserves a lot of attention. And that is the overwhelming gap in gender equity when it comes to hiring in Hollywood, not just on screen, but behind the camera. Production jobs. And what's really cool about this, Gina Davis, the actress, the Academy Award winning actress who burst on the scene. Remember, she was in Tootsie. That was and as she points out, her first movie role ever was in her underwear as Dustin Hoffman came in, impersonating a woman, and she had to be in her underwear for the whole scene. So Gina Davis is the founder of the Gina Davis Institute, which really does a lot of great work in pointing out some of the glaring deficiencies. And that's actually has done a lot of homework and research that other people should have been doing about the lack of jobs and the lack of on-screen and even animated roles for women. Hard data, including the fact, oddly enough, we I think most people know, we need more women behind the camera. We need more women in front of the camera, especially in lead roles. But shockingly, even in animated films and on children's television shows, men outnumber women in terms of male to female characters about 3-1. Whether you're watching a Saturday morning show with your kid or something on home video that you're calling up, something that's streaming, or even a lot of the movies. And a lot of Hollywood has been listening to that. We got a clip here where Gina Davis talks a little bit about, of course, she was in Thelma and Louise, which was a breakthrough film. And that the title of this film is ironic because people keep saying, well, this is going to change everything. Thelma and Louise is going to change everything. Hidden Figures is going to change everything.
Yeah, you do hear that.
Wonder Woman was directed
point.
By a woman. This is going to change everything. And as they point out again and again in this movie, it usually changes nothing.
Nothing.
So here's Gina Davis in This Changes Everything.
Of all the movies I did, Thelma Louise changed the course of my life.
Well, darling, look out, because my hair is coming down.
All right.
All of us were stunned the movie had the kind of impact that it did.
You are disturbed.
Yeah, I believe I am.
The reaction that it got from women, it was completely different.
You gonna apologize or what?
They'd say things like, my friend and I acted out your trip. And I'd be like, what part?
When they blow up that truck, it's just like, oh, you get such a rush.
There was something, I think, freeing in every woman that watched it.
It showed me, like, wow, you can have power as a woman and not have to be in
completely of service and submitting 1,000%.
My husband wasn't sweet to me. Look how I turned out.
So the usual scene.
Love that. You hear Tiffany Haddish is one of the voices you hear in there. And she's got another great quote later on saying that when she was growing up, the show that actually inspired her, believe it or not, was Dynasty, because Diane Carroll showed up on, because Diane Carroll showed up on Dynasty. And she says, that was the first time I saw a black female character who wasn't the maid or the single mother. And she had just as many diamonds as Joan Collins. And then she slapped Joan Collins in the face. Ooh. And Tiffany was like, yeah. But it really brings up that point, too, that if you were growing up until recently, and it has gotten a lot better, but if you were growing up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, if you were a woman or a man or woman of color, a little child, you saw very few people who looked like you on the big screen. That's why Black Panther was considered, and rightfully so, such a breakthrough film, because superheroes, the superhero was always the white male. Now we got Captain Marvel, we have Wonder Woman. And one of the things I love about this film, too, Anne, is that you hear from even some of the top actors who have had great success talking about how A-listers
like Meryl Streep,
how they've been treated, on their way up. And Ellen Pompeo, Grey's Anatomy, which has been on for like 14 years now, right?
It is a huge success.
Shonda Rhimes has become, the number one showrunner, as they say in Hollywood. But when they were pitching that show, and Ellen Pompeo talks about this and a couple of the creators, to rooms filled with men, and they said, the show's called Grey's Anatomy, and it's going to star Ellen Pompeo, these men kept saying, okay, but who's going to be the star of the show? What guy is it going to be about?
Like, who's the George Clooney?
Yeah, they were like, well, okay, she's going to be in it, we get it, but who's going to be the lead here? Again and again. And when the show got accepted,
like, what, to the 2000s,
14 years ago, and there were some executives who just laughed at the idea. This has now become one of the most successful shows in the history of television.
Yeah.
It's made more than $1 billion for everybody involved.
Well, you've heard a lot of actresses lament over the years, saying, "I'm always playing the girlfriend or the meaningless role, and then when I'm at 30, suddenly I'm a mom."
Yes,
while the men still be the adventure action heroes into their 40s and sometimes 50s.
Yeah, Sienna Miller, who was playing the lead. Actor, romantic role, is playing a grandmother in a movie that's out this year because she's 36, you know, and these things happen. So the movie is called This Changes Everything. Some of the most amazing stats are, when they talk about female directors, there are still very, very few. We talk about on screen in the movies, 3 out of every 4 major speaking roles go to men. That is the exact same statistic as it was in 1946.
How about that?
When Humphrey Bogart and everybody else was acting. So nothing has really changed. That's what changed. That's why I think this film is valuable, because it really crunches a lot of numbers.
It's data-driven.
Got a long way to go here.
It isn't opinion or experience necessarily entirely. It's based on the Gina Davis Institute tracks these kinds of things for years.
And is behind this film. And, when Patty Jenkins got Wonder Woman, there was a lot of talk about how, no woman had ever been given a movie with that big of a budget. And it's pointed out here that all of the men who, the first time they directed Marvel movies, none of them had done movies that big either. Because until you do one of those, now, of course, Jon Favreau does it. Well, of course, he's done 5 previous ones. Yeah. But when he was given it, nobody said, I can't believe we're giving a $150 million budget to a guy. So a very, very strong film. This Changes Everything. Playing at the Siskel Center right now, and then it'll be available on home video. 3.5 stars for This
great.
Changes Everything.
Want to see that. So Gina Davis is in it. Meryl Streep is in it. Tiffany Haddish. It sounds like a number of big
Taraji
names that we'll know.
Everybody. Just about everybody.
Telling their experiences. Okay, I'm going to see that one. Can we break here? And then we're coming to come back, and you have 2 others, right, Rich?
And this is the really cool thing. Both of the movies we're about to talk about were directed by women. So there
Get
you go.
Out.
We've got some exceptions to prove the rule.
All right. Well, that's coming up here. But first, let's check in with Kim Gordon and see what's happening at the bottom of the hour in the news.
As tensions rise, President Trump says Iran is nothing but trouble.
We just talked about This Changes Everything, the documentary about gender inequality in Hollywood. And you said 3.5 stars?
For yes.
Lion King also 3.5 stars. That's out in theaters already.
All good stuff.
And where do we want to go next?
Let's talk about The Farewell. And this is one of those things where, people come up to me all the time and they're like, first of all, don't come up to me. I don't want to talk to anybody. just kidding.
People love when people say,
oh, is anything good out there? I don't want to watch the big movies. What about they don't make them like they used to. Well, they actually do. And the other thing people often say is, well, that sounds sad. And I'm like, sometimes some of the greatest movies have some sadness in them, but, great art inspires you. And that's the case with The Farewell. So here's the setup for this movie called The Farewell. Awkwafina, who Trump will soon be tweeting about, I'm sure, because he's getting everybody on his radar. But if people might, if you saw Crazy Rich Asians, Awkwafina, she's a rapper, singer, actress. She was the scene stealing best friend in Crazy Rich Asian. She's in really funny commercials, bigger than life personality. But in this movie, she really delivers a pure acting performance that is actually one of the best performances of the year.
Wow.
She plays an Asian American who's living in New York. Her parents moved to New York City from China when she was a little girl. So she's always kind of felt a little bit torn between two worlds. Now she finds out that her nene, or grandmother, is dying, has stage four cancer, and the whole family's going to reunite in her home village in China. But their cultural belief is that you do not tell someone when they're dying. You, as a family, shoulder the burden for her because there's nothing she can do about it anyway. But she comes from American culture that says, no, that's wrong to do that. So here's a little montage. That's what they're talking about in this clip.
What's wrong, Dad? Please tell me.
My nan is dying.
She doesn't know, so you can't say anything. The family thinks it's better not to tell her.
Why is that better? Chinese people have saying, when people get cancer, they die.
Shouldn't we tell her? Isn't it wrong to lie?
It's a good lie. Most families in China would choose not to tell her.
She's dying. Can you be a little more sensitive?
What do you want from me? To scream and cry like you?
Wow.
Heavy stuff, but also really, really, really funny stuff in here. And a lot of it is cultural things that some of us probably don't know about. For example, sometimes in China, because family members are kind of closed off and reserved, they'll hire professional mourners for funerals who will scream and cry. They go to visit the grandfather's grave, and everybody, and some people do this here as well. They bring a lot of the grandpa's favorite things to the grave, but like favorite foods, but then get in a big argument about whether or not they should hand him a cigarette because he supposedly quit smoking. And finally, the granddaughter's like, you know, he's dead. They're like, yeah, but he still shouldn't be smoking. So really funny. Really smart, based on Lulu Wang, the writer director, based on a true story from her life about her grandmother, so who was still alive when they were making the movie. So they had to tell her the movie was about something else because they didn't want to tell her the reality that she was dying, that they were making a movie about her character dying. But here's a great spoiler alert. I will tell you this. Her grandmother's still alive 6 years after being diagnosed with stage four cancer. I won't tell you what happens in the movie, but in real life. So The Farewell is the kind of film that toward the end of the year, people start seeing it on best of the year list or up for Oscar nominations, are going to go like, what is that movie? Uh-huh. So see it now because it is going to get that kind of consideration. And Awkwafina deserves best actress consideration. She's good. In this film. So I'm giving this 4 stars. I haven't given a lot of 4 stars this year or any other year.
Now I got to see that. The Farewell.
The Farewell.
And where
theaters,
is that?
In theaters now. Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful film. And really, it's not a super weeper. It's not all about someone dying. It's about the celebration of that life. And as I said, just unbelievably funny stuff.
Funny. Okay, so then you've got one more. We just have a little bit of time here.
Very quickly, Sword of Trust. Mark Maron, the podcast superstar. He's on that Netflix series Glow as the manager of the Lady Wrestlers. He plays a pawn shop owner here who gets a hold of a Civil War sword that may or may not prove that the South actually won the Civil War. So there's a lot of good satire here about truthers and birthers and conspiracy theorists. It's very funny. 3 stars. So that's also in theater. So if you're looking for something little, smaller, different than The Lion King, you can check out Sword of Trust or you can check out The Farewell. It's a good, good weekend for movies.
It is. Get in the air conditioning, no question. All right. Thank you, Richard Roper. We're going to check in with Kim Gordon in 2 minutes, see what's happening in the WGN Radio News.